Welcome to Connect to Joy. Your host, Carol DeShane, is an intuitive spiritual guide for practical matters and Marconic multidimensional energy practitioner. Her quest is to help you realize new possibilities, discover and release what holds you back, and enable you to manifest an inspired life filled with joy. Join us on this journey of transformation. Now, here's your host, Carol DeShane.
Hello, beautiful spirits. Welcome to the show. This is going to be part one of a three-part series in finding the right fit for you. Today it's about relationships, all kinds of relationships. Part two is about your job or career. And part three is on your spirituality and finding the right fit there. Sometimes the right fit in anything you do isn't super obvious, and other times you simply know it is or it isn't a good fit. When we talk about relationships, it can get a little sticky, especially if it's about people you feel you're stuck with. Today it's all about, what do I mean by a good fit? Looking at who is around you, how do they make you feel? Can difficult people be actually a good fit? And for those people you can't quite peg, as well as for anyone else, I'll give you 5 steps to help you make that right fit decision. I'll also talk about how to step away when it's really necessary. And then I'll wrap the whole thing up. Let's start with what I mean by a good fit, so we're on the same page. There are a number of different reasons why someone might be a good fit. First, feeling good around certain people can make them a good fit because you may feel lighter, happier, and just all around enjoy being in their company. Certain people have energy that simply lifts you up, that makes them a good fit. Entrainment happens when you're near a person who has a higher vibration and you can feel so much lighter around them versus someone who doesn't have one and actually can lower your vibration. You may find someone is a good fit because they are a great mentor or teacher and you have something to learn from them. And I'm talking here about work-related issues or even someone you're learning a hobby from. We had some amazing mentors and Toastmasters to help us learn how to speak in public better. Now, unless they become friends, the mentors and teachers are generally there for a reason and a season in your life, and then they move on. And then there may be people who are a good fit for now because whether they seem difficult or not, when you have time with them, you learn life lessons from them or by being in their presence. So as I said, there are different reasons for someone to be a good fit. And not just because you feel really good around them, but that is probably one of the best reasons to be around them. Let's go into who you have in your life right now. Just take a minute and let's go over each area of your life so you can think on the people. You'll need to come back to this when we go over each of the other sections of this episode. There are generally a lot of people in our lives, whether you feel close to them or not. Let's start with your spouse or love interest. So think on them. Your children. How many of those do you have? Your parents. Your siblings, brothers and sisters. Your closest friends. Those you might consider friends but aren't as close or you don't see often. Who are they? The people you hang out with when you're participating in a sport, church activities, or like me when I audition and perform in shows, in theater shows. I may rarely see these people afterward. But for 3 months, I may see them almost every day. So you get close and then you're not seeing them anymore unless you become friends with them afterward. And I have 2 people that I got close to them during rehearsals because we had so many. And then there are people like Facebook friends or other social media friends that you may rarely, if ever, see. They could be people from your past that comment on your posts. They could be anything like that. There's also acquaintances. And then there are people at your work. There's bosses, coworkers, clients, customers. I mean, look at all these people we interact with. You might have close or not so close contact with your neighbors. That's just a group of different people that you might have good fits with or not. There are a lot of different people we see either on a daily basis or even just once in a while. But the next step is important. Let me ask you, how do you feel about the people in your life? Let's go through a few of the people I've just mentioned, okay? I don't want you blaming people for how you feel, though, first of all. Just tap into you with as objective a viewpoint as you can manage. Step back and see what the interactions with each person stirs in your emotions. In any of these categories, realize sometimes people can be annoying, but looking at an overview, how do you feel when you're around them? And how often do the bad feelings come up if you have them? So if you have one, let's start with your love interest, whoever that may be, whether it's a spouse or just whatever relationship if you have one. Look at what makes you feel good. And if there's anything that doesn't feel good. On the feel-good side, do you feel loved, cherished, listened to? What do you feel when you're with that person? On the not-so-good side, when you're around them, do you get angry, hurt, embarrassed? Do you feel ignored or bullied? Or maybe you feel abused. What do you feel when you're with this person? And how often do you feel good versus feeling bad or not so good? And how bad is the bad? Because they are only a good fit if they're acting poorly to you, if you learn something and get out of there pretty quick. If you have children, let's look at them next. Again, look at how you feel, the good and the not so good. If you just love your kids and you're in a great place with them, that's wonderful. But if they have issues, you might feel embarrassed for others to find out. But you could also feel helpless if they're into drugs or with the wrong crowd. How do you feel about them? Do the same with your parents and any brothers or sisters. And this includes in-laws. Just look at how being around them makes you feel. Next are your closest friends. When you evaluate your feelings, also look at why do you feel close to them? Is it shared hobbies or activities? Is it proximity? Maybe there's a closeness you've developed over time. Look at those as well. And also look at all those other almost friends categories I mentioned, the social media people, the people that are kind of like acquaintances you don't see very often. And almost friends are almost like relatives that you don't see except at reunions, unless you love them, of course. But before we get into any more of that, let's move into your work life and start with your boss or bosses. Is your boss easy to get along with and appreciates you? Does it feel good when you're around your boss? Or are they demanding or withhold raises and you feel they're unfair or unjust to you? Evaluate them like they're probably evaluating you. What grade would you give them and how do they make you feel when they speak to you? Now, after you complete with that, how about your coworkers? Usually there will be some you love being around, some you speak about personal things with because you think of them as friends, some you have no thoughts one way or the other about, and maybe they're good as a business friend or a business person you're dealing with, but they're not really a friend, and some you simply can't stand. But be aware of which are which. If you can remember how you feel about the people at your job, then you'll be ahead when we go into part two, which is finding the right fit in your job or career next time I do a podcast. And lastly, I want you to take a look at your neighbors. Quite a few people have feuds with their neighbors for various reasons, which really surprised me. How is your interaction if you have any at all? So think about the people that stuck out to you, the ones you really enjoy being around, and the ones not so much. You might wonder if those that feel like difficult people, though, can they be a good fit for your life? Let me give you some food for thought on that one, and then you can decide for yourself. I believe that people are drawn into our life for various reasons and at various times in our lives. If we're supposed to learn something from them, maybe before we were born into this lifetime, we may have asked them to help us learn what we deserve better, not to take the mental or physical abuse. To learn to stand up for ourselves, or to find the strength to leave a bad situation. Or it could be lots of other lessons that we want to learn. Many times, once we learn the lesson, the person will either leave our lives, or they'll seem to change overnight, because they're done teaching us the lesson that they said they would. And other times, getting away from them is the perfect thing to do. So difficult people could be a good fit, for a reason and a season, but not necessarily for your entire life. You really need to feel into those types of folks to see if you should hang around or not. And if they are people you have close proximity to, like your boss or your neighbor, they can be a little harder to see if you're stuck in the situation. You really need to take that step back. And of course, the people that you're related to, either by blood or marriage, that you feel even more stuck with? Well, we'll look at how to distance yourself from some of these types of relationships towards the end of the show. If you feel good around certain people most of the time, they're probably a good fit. For the difficult ones, like I said, they may be good for a reason or a season, but then you might want to move on. But what about those people that you can't quite peg? First, let me answer the questions you may have about why you should even care to see if they're the right fit if they don't pop up on your radar much. You know, we only have so much time in this lifetime, and if we want to find joy in it, let's choose to be around those people that either we enjoy being around or help us learn lessons so we can be a better, happier person, right? So let me give you 5 steps to help you make that decision on if actually anyone is the right fit for you, whether it's one of those people that kind of earn the middle or it's somebody that's on one end of the spectrum or the other. First, look at the specific person. When and how do you interact with them? Is it work? Specific hobbies or activities? Are they friends of friends that hang out with your group? Maybe they're distant relatives, or maybe not so distant. People that fall into the not sure if they fit category may have made an appearance on your radar when we first went through the list of people at the beginning of the show, but they may not have if you didn't have strong feelings one way or the other about them. Now next, let's look at the pros and cons of being around the people that you're thinking about and that specific person. Does being around them make you feel good, bad, or neutral? Do they push buttons that make you feel anger or hurt your feelings? Or are they wonderful to be around and lift you up? Or maybe you feel that neutral. I hardly notice when they're around, but they don't really bother me kind of vibe. The third thing is to look at any agenda they may have for being near you. Are they using you to get ahead with their career? Do they really love you? Or are they just wanting some sort of a love interest in their life, but they're not really all that connected to you? Or maybe you have an agenda for keeping them in your life. Agendas aren't bad if you're aware of them, either theirs or yours. If you want to be a part of those agendas, that's great. But if you don't, you'll need to step back or away completely. Number 4, and next, are there any obvious or maybe not so obvious lessons you need to learn from them? Can you be a stronger or more loving person if you keep them in your life at least a little bit or a little bit longer? Dig around a bit for that lesson. See if it's something that's important, because you don't want to miss an important one. If you do, it's almost a given that if you don't learn it from this person, another person who looks maybe exactly the same with a different face, they'll treat you the same. And you'll just have to come back over and over again until you learn that lesson. So maybe it's better to have that fit for you right now to learn a lesson now instead of having to do it again later, especially if you've been repeating it for a while. Now, lastly, picture what it would look like if they weren't in your life. What would your life look like and how would you feel? If this person wasn't in your life, would you be relieved? Would you be happier? Would you be upset? Would you miss them terribly? Or maybe you wouldn't even notice they were gone. When you review your answers to the 5 steps, it should be fairly obvious that each person, whether they're a good fit or not. And if they aren't, then you have to ask yourself, how do you remove yourself from their presence or back away gracefully? Now, that really depends on who they are to you. It's pretty easy to let a person go that you don't see very often or who's just a Facebook friend. But it can be a little tougher if the person is someone at work or a relative. For people you only interact with on Facebook or other social media, you can always block or unfriend them. Those are the easiest ones to just sort of let go of. Now, if they aren't close to you, you can simply avoid them or stop speaking to them except when you need to be polite. If they're coworkers, you can interact with them only in a business capacity. Don't ask for their opinion on anything personal. And if you don't value their input at work, don't ask for their opinions there either, unless you have to. Especially if it's your boss and you need to ask for his opinion. And definitely don't stand around the proverbial water cooler and talk about your personal life. Listen to theirs or gossip about other people. Steer clear as much as you can without being rude if you need to work with them. For bosses, the same sort of applies. Not going into personal stuff, and if the atmosphere of your workplace is touchy-feely where everyone talks about their personal stuff, keep it light. And don't talk about major things you don't want them to voice their opinions on or you don't want them to know about. Keep it polite with your boss and as businesslike as possible. If they push you and make you feel less than you want to feel, we'll get into that in the next episode, part two. Is the job itself a good fit or not? But let's look again at other folks. What about relatives? How can you remove yourself from their reach? And there are a number of ways. Not taking every one of their calls and returning them immediately. Instead of answering the minute they call, you can space it out or text them back instead of talking to them if you don't want to be on their radar all the time. And you don't have to do it the minute that they contact you. Oh, I'm busy. I can't talk to you right now. No, let it go. Unless like they're your mother, might be a little more of an issue. But if you only see these people at family reunions, avoid them without seeming to, so you don't hurt their feelings. If they trap you and you end up in a conversation in a corner somewhere, make an excuse after a short amount of time. You don't have to stay there forever. You might have to go to the bathroom, so excuse yourself. Or you have to speak to someone before you forget what you were going to tell them who just came in the door or who you just happened to notice. If it's appropriate, you can say you promised to help the host or hostess with something, maybe in the kitchen, and then go talk to them or go into the kitchen and figure out what you can do to actually be halfway honest about it. But I have to say, the best way that I've found is the bathroom reason. It's probably the best because they can't follow you in there, or at least you can close the door in their face and say, excuse me, gotta go, and close the door. And then you don't have to go back to them when you're done. You go somewhere else and talk to someone else. Or get involved with a game somebody else is playing if it's a party. If someone criticizes you constantly and makes you feel less than, you can also ask your spouse or another relative to run interference where they can. Moving on to neighbors, they can seem like your worst enemy, and it's hard to get away from them if they're right next door. Whether you have a fence dispute, a dog dispute who barks or bites or gets into your yard all the time, or there's an argument about noise or too many cars, you name it. It can seem difficult to work your way through it. Ignoring them may not work. And calling the police that they're infringing on the quiet enjoyment of your own house can be not a great idea and tough all around. It really depends on the situation and how safe you feel talking to them. But if you do feel safe and they're halfway reasonable, you might be able to have a discussion to settle things. If you both give a little, whatever dispute it is may be able to be handled with neither side feeling like they gave in. Now, next, I want to talk about friends. You might need to distance yourself from them sometimes. You may be complete with them as a friend. That season with them may be over, and it could be incredibly sad to let them go. But if you go through the 5 steps that I gave you, you'll be able to tell whether it's a good fit for you right now or not. If it's a spouse, people distance themselves all the time, whether it's emotionally, psychologically, or physically. You can put a wall up between you and your emotions where they're concerned, but it isn't all that healthy to keep it up for a long period of time. You can stay at work later and later or go out with your friends after work. But honestly, if things aren't working out with a spouse, it's probably better to go to counseling for both of you, but at least for you if they won't go. And then there's also separation or divorce if things are really bad. If you realize you deserve a happy life, you'll be more willing to make the changes you need to in order to have that life. Today I've talked about how you can find the right fit in a relationship. I spoke about what I mean by a good fit. We looked at who was around you, how they make you feel. I asked if difficult people could be a good fit for you. I gave you 5 steps to help you make that right fit decision and how to step away when necessary. Looking at your life to see who's a good fit for you has a number of levels. Who feels good? Who has a reason for being there? Who are you learning lessons from? These are all questions you can ask yourself when you're trying to figure out if you want to keep people in your life. But just like cleaning out your closet, you'll feel lighter and more alive once you take the time to clean out the people in your life. Sort them, figure out if you're going to keep them or give them away, or you're undecided, and then ponder over and decide what to do with the ones who fall into the undecided category. Let those you want to distance yourself from go with grace and wish the best for them. Personally, I find it's better not to create karma for myself I don't want by being rude or obnoxious about it. Just know you'll both be better for the distance if that's what you decide to do. And you'll both have people in your life that fit better, feel better, and your lives will be a more joyous experience. Oh, before I sign off, let me tell you to remember, please, my next episode will be part 2 in the series, Finding the Right Fit in Your Job or Career. And part 3 after that will be Finding the Right Fit Spiritually. Thank you for joining me here today. If you'd like to know more about intuitive spiritual or life or business coaching with me or Marconic's Multidimensional Energy, please check out my website at connecttojoy.com. Just like this show, connect the number 2 joy, and follow me on Instagram at connecttojoy. And you can subscribe to my YouTube channel as well, which is under my name, Carol DeShane. Until next time, be courageous and reach higher. Just take a breath and take a moment when you need it. Take one step at a time on your journey. Get the help you need and get out there and find your joy, because you deserve it.
Thank you for listening to Connect to Joy. If you love the show, make sure you rate, review, and share this podcast, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Contact the host, Carol DeShane, with questions and comments, ideas for future episodes, or if you would like to become a guest. And remember, transformation is a journey and not an end destination. So be kind to yourself, because you are already enough to have the joyful, limitless life that you desire.